We are on the winning side today.
Amen.
We heard that song last night, that we're on the winning side. And I am fully convinced that we're running the right race. We're in the right race. We're on the right track. We're not in the wrong stadium. We're doing the right thing. And we're serving and we're following a God who has never experienced the taste of defeat. We're serving a God. I believe we also heard a song last night that said, "Stand by me." The Lord is inviting us to come stand by Him. Let Him be our master. Let Him be our guide. Let Him fight our battles. And I feel like that too many times we limit the Lord because we allow the enemy to cause us to fear things that just aren't the case. God revels in answering prayer for His children. I don't think that it is like the Lord says, "Well, I'll tell you, Rod, I guess He prayed through. I guess He's exercised the faith He's supposed to exercise. I guess He's done a lot of sacrifice, and I guess I'm going to have to answer His prayer this time." I don't think it's like that at all. I think the Lord has miracles He wants to bring about in our lives. He has victories that He wants to give us. And I believe the Lord is looking down and He's just saying, "Please follow me. Do my will. Believe in me because I have so much that I want to do for you." And we live in a time where so much energy is given to so many things. And so little energy is given to the more important things of life, to life itself. And I feel like that the burden that the Lord's put on my heart, I guess if I were to try to express a burden for the meeting, it would be that we would wholly and completely follow the Lord. And this morning I've written on the board, "Wholly follow and take the mountain." And I'd like to start in Joshua. In the 13th chapter, and give a little history coming up to the 13th chapter. I noticed that you all have been reading in Exodus. I don't know if you started at the beginning in Sunday school about how the Lord called Moses to take His children out of Egypt. And the Lord blessed them. And you know the many miracles that were wrought. The Red Sea was parted. Moses brought forth water when there was no water because of the power of the Lord that worked through him and his obedience. And the Lord had a place for them to go. He had the land of Canaan that He wanted the Lord, or the people that was called out of Egypt, to be able to enjoy. And as they got near, do you remember when Moses sent the spies into the land of Canaan? You know how many spies did He send? 12 spies. Why was there 12 spies? Pardon? 12 tribes. There were 12 tribes. And so He chose leaders out of each of those 12 tribes. And He sent them over to the land of Canaan. So they went into the land of Canaan. How long were they there? Remember? How many days? They were there 40 days. And they came back and they said, and the people, I wonder if the people were worried. I wonder if they had a preset time of 40 days. I don't know if that was come back in 40 days or how that all worked. But I have an idea that people were wondering. I wonder what it's like over there. I wonder what they're finding. I wonder if it's everything that we thought it was going to be. Well, the 12 spies came back. And they said, "Oh, it's everything that we thought it was going to be. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. And look at the fruit. It's a beautiful land." There's just a problem. You got a problem over in the land of Canaan. Problem is, there's giants over there. And we saw the men and we're small in their sight. These are big men. They have strong places. They have fence places. And the unfortunate thing is, it's everything that we thought it was going to be, but we're not going to be able to enjoy this land. And they stirred, I believe the Scripture said, to this extent or to this point, they stirred the people up. They got them all in a frenzy. They were fearful. And remember, Caleb says, "Whoa, wait a minute! There was two of the spies. One came out of the tribe of where Caleb was from. What tribe he was from? Judah. And Joshua was it Ephraim? Ephraim, I believe. That was the tribe he was from. And Caleb says, "Wait a minute! Wait, hold on! We are well able. We can do this." Well, the Lord, he wasn't very happy. This was the land he had for them to enjoy. He had victories for them. He had an inheritance for them. He had great plans for his people. And now they're coming back saying, "Well, we can't do it." After all, the Lord had already done. And they're saying, "Well, we can't do that." And I believe the Lord said, "I'm going to destroy this people. I'm going to just destroy this people." And Moses said, "Lord, please, wait. If you destroy the people, then the folks over there in Egypt, they're going to think, well, what kind of God are they? They didn't even get over the land. Please, Lord, don't destroy us." The Lord said, "All right. You know where the 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness came from? It was those 40 days that they were in Canaan." And the Lord said, "All right, for every day that you were in Canaan, you will wander for a year in this wilderness." And so they wandered. That was a sentence from the Lord. They wandered for 40 years in the world. He said, on top of that, there is no one that is above. It might have been 20 and above or above 20. I almost think it was 20 and above. I can't remember for sure. You will not enter into the land of Canaan. That was the judgment of the Lord. Except for Caleb and Joshua. Well, the time, even Moses didn't go in. That's a whole other message, but that ought to cause us to be a little cautious, shouldn't it? Well, they got over there close to the land of Canaan, and Moses died. And you begin to read in the first chapter of Joshua, and it said, "The word of the Lord came unto Joshua, and he said, Arise, for my servant Moses is dead. Now it's your turn. Arise. It's your turn to lead the people." And the first chapter of Joshua, he went on and he said, "You go do just exactly like I've commanded. Don't turn to the right and don't turn to the left. You follow just exactly like the instructions I've given." And the Lord told Joshua, he said, "I have much land for you to possess. I have land for you to possess." And he said, "Be courageous. Take courage. Don't be fearful." And the Lord gave Joshua that same message. It was kind of repeated in that first chapter. "Be courageous. Don't be afraid. This is land that I want to give you. Just remember, don't veer to the right. Don't veer to the left. Wholly follow." Why? Because it was the Lord that was going to be able to give him the victory. And if they got off all on their own, "Well, I don't know that it's necessary to go exactly this way. I think we might be able to take the city of Jericho a little bit better if we do it our way." That wouldn't have worked. They had to do it just exactly like the Lord said. And the Lord wasn't trying to put him in bondage. He just wanted a people that would follow him so he could win their victories. That's right. Just like he wants to do for us today. And so you know what happened? Joshua arose, just like the Lord asked him to. And he led the people into Canaan, and they had many great victories. And they won many great battles. And they did take the city of Jericho because they did exactly like the Lord commanded. Except there was another piece of that story, wasn't there? That's another message. That's another reason why the Lord says, "Just trust me, follow me, just do what I say to do." There's a victory in that. So they had much victory. Now this brings us to the 13th chapter. Now Joshua is old. 13:1. "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." You've possessed land, Joshua. You're old. You're stricken in years. But the message to him was, there is still much land for you to possess. There's still lots of land that's not conquered. There's still land that I want to give you. There's still blessings. There's still places that I want you to have, even though you are where you are now. The enemy would like to come along to us and say, you've plateaued. You've reached it. This is the extent of your experience. Now I want to say the Lord is coming to every one of us today. And He's saying, calling us by name. And He's saying, listen, I still have much land for you to possess. I still have an inheritance to give you. Now I would like to go to the 14th chapter. And so now in the 14th chapter, and we'll start in the 6th verse. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Caleb really believed what he was saying. When he said, yeah, we can take this land. We're well able. God will help us do this. He's saying here, I was 40 years old then, and I testified. I wasn't just saying words. All right? This was in my heart. This was really in my heart. And I meant it. I meant what I said. And he proves it here again. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But, get this, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Completely, totally, I wholly followed. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever. Here it is again. Because, what? Because they wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as He said, these 45 years, even since Moses spake this word. He's 85 years old now. Is there anybody 85 in here? 85 years old. Listen to what He says now. He said, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered the wilderness, and now, lo am I this day, 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because... Why? Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. This is quite a story, isn't it? Did you pick up on the fact that he was able to have this inheritance because he wholly followed the Lord? That's why he was able to get this inheritance. Caleb was all in. He was totally committed. He was not on the fence.
That's right.
The Lord is not looking for Christians that are on the fence.
That's right.
The Lord is not looking for Christians who have a testimony, but it's not really in their heart, and they don't live it on a day-to-day basis, year after year after year.
That's right.
Caleb was a man who was wholly, completely, totally committed to following the Lord. That was his vision. That's what he wanted. That's who he wanted to serve. And he wasn't interested, saints. He wasn't interested in seeing what he could get by with and still be called a Christian.
That's right.
He was interested in saying, Lord, how can I better please you?
That's right.
How can I wholly follow you? How can I please you so that it affects the other people around me in the best way? I want to wholly follow you. Lord, what would you have me to do? And I want to say this morning, there are too many people that don't they're not enjoying the inheritance and the land that God wants to give them. Because they want to be called by the name of the Lord, but they want to eat their own bread and they want to wear their own apparel and they want to do their own thing, but they also kind of want to serve the Lord because they don't want to reject God totally, but they want to try to have both. And it doesn't work.
No.
You won't have victory in your life. You won't feel, you won't experience that abundant life that God has for us. God is looking for a people who are willing to stand up and be counted and say, I'm in. I'm okay with not fitting in with the world. I'm okay with not looking like the world. I'm okay with taking up my cross and not enjoying the pleasures of sin, which is for a season. I'm okay with that. I know it's a sacrifice. I know there's a cross. I know there's some things that maybe technically I can try to justify as okay. I'm not interested in seeing how close to the fence or the boundary line I can get. I want to wholly follow the Lord. I don't want to go to the right. I don't want to go to the left. It seems like if there's a boundary, why is it that when you give people boundaries, they're always hugging the boundary? You ever notice that?
Yeah.
With children, you do that. Now, don't step over that line, and they're hanging out right by that line and looking at you. You know, and say, I didn't cross the line. You know, one of my nieces, my sister told her, don't put your finger on the top of that. Don't touch that. And she looked at her and touched the bottom of it. That's not wholly following what she was told to do. You can say, well, technically I did what you said. There's no scripture and verse that says, don't touch the bottom. But you see, there was a portion of her heart, or maybe a good portion of her heart, that wanted to do what she wanted to do. God wants a people who, they're done with that. They're not going to spend their lives trying to figure out exactly what I can get by with and still be okay. God's looking for a people who are wholly committed to following Him. And when we do that, we can have the mountain.
That's right.
We can have an inheritance. I believe this morning that all of us, there's still land to possess in our lives.
Amen.
The Lord has some mountains for us that He wants to give you. Yes, amen. He wants to give us some of those places that maybe we've given up on. And we feel like, well, there's no way I can take that. I mean, sometimes the enemy gets us to the place where we just feel in a state of discouragement. Or we fear. Or it just seems like we can't experience the victories that others around us do. And say, well, I guess it's just me. You know, I believe in the Bible, but I guess it just doesn't apply to me like it does everybody else. And we decide that's just how it is, and we go on and we view it as an untouchable. Sometimes it's things that attract us in the world. Sometimes it's addictions. Sometimes it's things that just seems like, even though we want to stop, we just seem like we can't, and we want to, but we seem like we can't. There's an answer. I believe that if we'll be willing to wholly and completely follow the Lord, He has these mountains and these strongholds and these fenced places that He wants us to be able to inherit and to enjoy and to take. Just like Caleb did. That was the key.
That's right.
Caleb had given him his whole attention. Have you ever talked with somebody? Had a discussion with somebody and you thought you had their attention, and then they start fooling with their, pull their phone out and they're texting, and at the same time they're looking at you, and you just kind of, your energy just kind of runs out. I typically just stop talking. When they're ready to talk, I'll talk, but I'm just typically not really interested in having a discussion with someone who's going like this while they're texting. I don't have their full attention.
Right.
There's a distraction. There's something that has been allowed to come in between. And do you think that I feel a sense of urgency and commitment and interest in the person in communicating what I have to communicate with someone who's not that interested? No. The military, they're not interested in people who aren't fully committed. They have this thing called boot camp. They want to figure out, are you all in, or are you just here to try some things out and have some experiences? We're interested in men and women that we're interested in people who are going to follow wholly, completely,
right.
Set their own agenda to the side. And if it doesn't work out, well, you can go back home. They want the people that they can count on.
Right.
And those are the people that take mountains. God's looking for a people this morning that are willing to be wholly committed.
Right.
You will be in the minority, okay? That's okay.
Yes.
It's okay to be in the minority in this world. I'm interested in taking the mountain. I want to run as if my life depends on it, because it does. It does. I'd like to remind you of a passage in 2 Kings, the 13th chapter. In 2 Kings, the 13th chapter, and maybe for the sake of time, we'll paraphrase this just a little bit. But this was when Joash was king and Elisha was getting ready to die. He had fallen sick in the 14th verse of the 13th chapter of 2 Kings. He'd fallen sick and Joash came to him. And Joash was worried because the prophet was getting ready to die. And he was worried about the battles that he had at hand in front of him. And Elisha told him, he said, "You take the bow and the arrows." And he took unto him the bow and the arrows. And he told the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." And he put his hand on the bow. And Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, "Now open this window right here eastward." So he opened the window eastward. And he said, "Shoot." And so he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them." This was the expected end that the Lord had for them. This was the land. This was the inheritance, complete victory that God wanted to give to them, to him, to these people. And Elisha was telling him that. And now he said, "Take the arrows." So the king took the arrows. And he said unto the king, "Now smite the ground." And he smote the ground three times, and then it said he stayed. He stopped. And it said the man of God was wroth. Elisha wasn't very happy. And he wasn't happy because he said, "You should have hit the ground five or six times so that you would have complete deliverance. You should have put your all into it. You should have listened to what I said and went after it with everything you had. When you smite the ground and it's representative of the land that you're going to, don't just tap it three times." He said, "Because you did this, your victories are going to be limited." He says, "Now you'll just smite Syria, but thrice." You see how he missed out on that?
Yes.
I don't want to do that. Do you? Sometimes I wonder how would the Lord categorize you? I ask myself, how would the Lord categorize me? How many times is Rod hitting the ground with the arrow? Well, what kind of sense of urgency does Rod have in his Christian life? And as I look at how he lives his life and what he thinks about and how he spends his time and how he conducts himself and the decisions that he makes in life, what message is that sending to the Lord on my diligence, on the degree of carefulness that I'm demonstrating by my actions to wholly follow the Lord? Am I just kind of going through the motions? I don't want to just go through the motions. That's not where the victory is. People do just the minimum sometimes, and then they pray to the Lord to give them victory. They don't get victory, and then they wonder what the problem is and almost make it God's problem. "Well, I prayed, but He didn't answer my prayer." And the Lord's saying, "Wait a minute. I just want you to follow me. You can't have one leg in and one leg out and be able to swim out into the deep. You got to jump in. You have to be willing to go step into the water. Get out of the boat. Head to where Jesus is." We give Peter a bad time because he sunk. But if I remember right, he is the only one that stepped out of the boat to go to Jesus.
Right.
He said, "Is that you? Lord, if that's you, bid me to come." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter came. The only one I know of that stepped out into the water like that. He went out there. I want to be able to, willing to separate myself from my sense of security sometimes. Step out in faith and say, okay, Lord, this is the way you want me to go. I'm all in. And the wonderful thing is, yes, sometimes we'll start to sink. The wonderful thing is the Lord will pick us back up. He won't let you drown. He's looking for a people who are willing to step out, have faith, go all out for the Lord. Don't try to cut corners. Don't try to see what you can get by with and still be categorized as saved and, well, nobody can give me a scripture and a verse that says this is wrong. Not interested in that way of life. I'm interested in a way of life where the Lord looks at me and says, have you considered my servant? Have you considered the fact that He's all in? He wants to serve me. He's not just tapping the ground three times or so. We heard the verse this morning. Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but just one receives the prize? So run that ye may obtain. I want to tell you something. If we were to group up, or maybe we just go out as a congregation and say, we're going to race across to that house over there, and if you don't win the race, I'm going to take your life. That's it. Would you run hard to get to the house? Yeah, you would. Because your life's at stake. If they come out here and line us up and say, this is it. This is it. And there's just one person that's going to win. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all but one? There isn't more than one blue ribbon. Might be when you're in kindergarten, but when you get to the big leagues, it's just one. It's just one that they give. And everybody else loses the race. Nobody remembers the second place winner either. And if there's just one, wouldn't you put your all into it? Wouldn't you get... And that's what Paul was trying to use that analogy and saying, don't you know that they which run in a race, everybody runs, but just one receives the prize? So you run so that you can obtain. That's how I want to run. I want to run to obtain. Are you running to win it this morning? Or are you just running? You know, some people, they're just out there. I drive down the road sometimes and there's PE going on at the schools. And you see the kids out on the track. And there's always this group that's running. And then you see these others that are just kind of lollygagging along. And they're, you know, a lap or two behind. And they're just doing time because they have to. They've been told to run, so they're out there trying to qualify to say that they ran and get through the class. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. How are you running today? Are you running to win? Or are you just running? God's not looking for people to just run. He's looking for a people that are willing to wholly follow Him, totally, completely, all in, and we're in it to win it. That's what I want to be. I want to be in this thing so that we can win. It seems like we do so much in life to plan, to prepare. I mean, we can plan our vacations. Get a little older, you start planning for retirement. That's a billion-dollar industry out there. Planning and trying to make sure you make all your decisions right. And we can plan for house plans that we're going to build our new house. And we can just put ourselves into it. We plan. Isn't there a parable somewhere that Jesus said, the children of this world are wiser than the children of light? Thought about that different times. Because the unjust steward was planning for when he got out, he was planning ahead. Because he knew what might happen to him if he didn't plan ahead. And I've been challenged by that. We do all this planning and diligence in this world for things that are temporal. How about our soul?
Yes.
And then we just tap. We do all this planning for all these things, which is not always so bad. It's okay to plan. I believe that's Bible, you know, to plan ahead, to think, to be responsible. But we can put ourselves totally into it. And then when it comes to our soul, we tap the ground one or two or three times and then somehow say, well, we've done our duty with the Lord. We've done our part. I don't want that to categorize my life. I want to be categorized as somebody who is willing to hit the ground numerous times. Why? Because God has land for me to possess. He has land for you to possess. He wants us to wholly, completely follow Him. Because He wants to give you the victory in your life. Do you have places in your life today that you've given up on? I think we probably all struggle with things in life, haven't we? Has the enemy ever said, well, you're different. You're different than most people. Or maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just different. Sometimes you feel like I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and I can't get over this thing. I bring you good news today.
Amen.
The Lord's message to us is just don't believe. Be not afraid. Just believe. Do you remember the story of Jairus? He was a ruler in the synagogue. And he came to Jesus and he said, Lord, my little daughter, she's precious to me. She's important to me. That's how I read that. He could have just said, oh, got a relative that's sick. But he said, no, it wasn't just his daughter. It's my little daughter. Lord, I love her. She's vulnerable. She's weak. She's sick. She's about to die. Lord, will you help? And soon after that, some of his servants came and they said, don't bother the master anymore. You don't need to bother him anymore because she's dead now. Have you ever felt that hopelessness where you feel like the window of opportunity is past and now here you are in this place and the moment, the time, the opportunity for deliverance is now gone? No more opportunity. The enemy likes us to think that way. You know what Jesus' words were when they said, hey, don't bother the master anymore. She's dead. It's too late now. Too far down the road. Victory can't come now for her because, well, she's gone. There is nothing that limits our Lord. The Lord's response was, wait, don't be afraid. Just believe. And he went to her and he says, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. Death to us is like sleeping to the Lord. He just told her to arise. And he said, give her something to eat. Time to get up and eat. This morning, the Lord wants us to go after the fence places. He wants us to go after the mountains.
That's right.
The enemy sometimes has fenced places in our lives. What does a fence represent? What is a fence? What does it represent? I was looking at several of them this morning. A boundary. A barrier, pardon? It keeps you out and keeps whatever's in. Right? And when you come up on a fence, you look at that and it's basically saying to you, hey, the ground inside the fence, there's something different about that ground than is out here. And sometimes it's, this isn't your property, this is your property, you stay out. It's not yours to cross over. And the enemy likes to set up strongholds and fence places in our lives. And he likes to tell us, hey, you might as well not go there. That's a fence place.
That's right.
That's a difficult place to get in. And anyway, it's on a mountain too.
Yes.
It's a fence place and it's on a mountain. And you might as well give up on that part of your life. Go focus on something else. And the enemy would like us to just roll over on that and say, well, that's just not a place I can get into. That's a hard place for me. I'm just going to focus on some. Wish it wasn't there. Saint, let's go after the mountains. Let's go after the fenced places.
Yeah.
That's what Caleb did here. Let's wholly, completely give our lives to the Lord. Follow Him 100% all the way. None of this, what can I get by with? Let's be all in. Let's seek the Lord. Let's say, Lord, help me to know what You want from me in my life. And the Lord has a promise for us. I've got a lot of land for you to possess, and I'll give it to you for your inheritance if you'll follow me. Jesus Himself said that with men, these things are impossible. But with God, all things. Everything is possible. That extends to you. As much as the devil may say, nope, that message isn't for you. No, that thing that you're struggling with, that doesn't count. That's different. That's separate. That's not included. You've already tried that. I want to encourage you this morning. Focus on wholly and completely following the Lord. Take courage. Let the Lord fight your battles. And go after the mountains. Go after the fenced places. What did we read here in Joshua 14 and 11? And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain. That's what I want to encourage you with this morning.
Amen.
I want you to be encouraged to go after the mountains. Go after the fenced places. And if the Lord comes along and He convicts your heart, and He calls your name, and He says, you're not wholly following me in this thing. You've been trying to walk the edge. You've been trying to just see what you can get by with, and then you come and you look for strong victories in your life, and you're not finding them. Focus on getting off the line. Focus your energy on wholly and completely following the Lord. And if you know that there's a place like that in your life, go after it. Some people say, yeah, but I like that fence. Yeah, but it's okay with me for that fence to be there. Sometimes we say, well, I don't want to disrupt that fence because I kind of like it. Those are even harder to overcome.
That's right.
Even when you know it's a hindrance, when you know it's pulling you back spiritually, and yet you like it and you're drawn to it, those are the ones that are easy to say, well, I just can't help it. That's just the way I am. God made me that way. He understands my heart. He'll have mercy on me. He knows who I am. And we'll focus on something else. That isn't the Lord speaking to you. The Lord wants you to look at those things that you may even like that are fenced places. And He wants you to say, I'm going after it. Lord, I'm going after it. We serve a God who is in the business of changing your heart. We serve a God who's in the business that when you go after those places that you like and you don't see how you can live life without it. You know which places I'm talking about. They're all different for people sometimes. Some are the same, some are different. But there's places we think, how can I live life without that? I love that. The Lord is a God of changing our hearts. And He will. We step into the water. We exercise faith. We go after the mountain. We choose to cross the fence with belief and faith in God. And He'll bring about a change in our heart. And He'll bring us victory on the other side. Let's be encouraged to wholly follow the Lord and take the mountain. Amen.